So I would like to ask the deity, the silent deity, Sri Gaudapada, Jagannatha Sutramai, and Sadhu Sandhan, all the Acharyas, Sri Prabhupada, Vice Spiritual Master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and Tathagata Maharaj, and all the Vaishnavas to bless him, to speak on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, in ISKCON, we have three prominent books which are studied. They are heard, they are read, they are studied. Three prominent literatures. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, these three books are graded differently. So, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study. You learn all the basics of philosophy, all the basics of theology, all the basics all about Krishna or God, the Supreme Lord, in Bhagavad Gita. Now, to put things in perspective, let's see what is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, as far as the study is concerned, in Vrindavan I have seen the Sanskrit students would come there and they would study grammar for 5 years or 12 years. Then they would study six Vedic philosophies. Then they would study Bhagavad Gita. They won't study Bhagavad Gita right away. So Bhagavad Gita is such a high literature, such a exalted, just such a prime literature, that even the Sanskrit scholars, they want to study. But in ISKCON, the first book we study is Bhagavad Gita. And why is that? Because Srila Prabhupada has presented it in such a way that anybody can study and learn Bhagavad Gita. So we are already on a position, on a platform, where these Sanskrit scholars would hesitate to go on. They want to study Bhagavad Gita. They rather spend 12 years studying six Vedic philosophies, because Bhagavad Gita is the culmination of all philosophies, of entire wisdom. And that's why the compiler of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vyasadeva, says, Gita sugita kartabha kimne shastri stari. The Srimad Bhagavad Gita is the only literature which should be studied, heard, and sung. What is the use of studying any other literature? Why? Yat sampadnavasya mukhpadma vinishrita. So tomorrow we are going to recite whole Bhagavad Gita. And this is why it is. Because this has been spoken by the Supreme Lord Padmanabha Krishna from his lotus mouth. So in comparison to other literature in the world, Bhagavad Gita is prominent. It's most prominent. A prominent scholar, you see in the back of the Bhagavad Gita, said that in comparison to Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, all the literature in the world seems puny. They're trivial. Because Bhagavad Gita is a culmination of all the philosophies. Other literatures in the world, they have been spoken by the God's representatives, Son of God, or the prophets. But Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord. So it's prominent. So Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study in our movement. Now you can understand the position of somebody who joins ISKCON. He reads Bhagavad Gita from the very first day. He hears Bhagavad Gita. So his position is already very elevated, incorporated into other religions, other sects, and other groups. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study. So in our temples, we have Bhagavatam class every day, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Kurma Brahmana in Kurukshetra that if you read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy name, I'll always remain with you. This is how powerful it is. Hearing Bhagavad Gita 20시면 나오게 되면 나머네 20시면 나오게 되는 이브닝 which happens in every temple in Iskcon and chanting the holy name and then Lord himself remains with you. This is his guarantee. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study, which means you progress further. Once you have studied Bhagavad Gita, then you study Srimad Bhagavatam. Once you have studied Srimad Bhagavatam, absorbing the philosophy, then you dare to study Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is how exalted this study is. Now, I don't claim, in fact, no, I have no qualification whatsoever to dwell in this philosophy. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this has become available. By the mercy of Sri Prabhupada, this is available to us, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, a postgraduate study in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his last days, he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was completely absorbed in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, this is how sublime this subject matter is. Now, as I said earlier on, today we are just going to cover preface and part of the introduction. Who should read Srimad Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada says, what's the qualification to study Bhagavad Gita?
Sorry?
Who is a qualified candidate to study Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. Somebody who wants to understand Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the introduction that at least theoretically he must accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Theoretically. The practical realization will come once you study Bhagavad Gita. Theoretically you must accept it. Somebody must accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our yesterday's lecture on Bhakti Shastri, you heard a lot on this topic. Acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, Krishna himself says in the 9th chapter, which you heard yesterday, that such a seeker of spiritual truth is simply baffled in his attempt. Theoretically accept. Now, who is the qualified candidate to study Srimad Bhagavatam? We need to go further. Yeah? So who will be qualified to study Srimad Bhagavatam?
Devotee of Krishna. The devotee of Krishna.
Devotee of Krishna. And how do you become devotee of Krishna? Somebody who is surrender to Krishna. The essence of devotion is surrender. There's a nice song. Acharya has written Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati. So he says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to teach Sharanagati. Now the last instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Sardharma Paritya Jamanikam Sharanam Gurchi. Aham Tvam Sarapapitya Mukshisram Masacha. Last. Similarly, last instruction of Krishna to Lord Brahma, our Adi Acharya in our Sampradaya, is same. Dharmanyan parityaja mamekam bhaj vishwasam. Yadrishi yadrishi sriddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi. O Brahma, O Vishwasam, the creator of the universe, forget, abandon all varieties of religion. Maam ekam bhaj. Just surrender to me. And bhaj, this Sanskrit root, bhaj means sevayam. Bhaj is sevayam. So it comes from bhaj. Bhaj means sevayam, service. So Krishna says that abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me, serve me. service to Krishna. So comparing these two instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sanhita. Then Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshyasyami mansacha. I will deliver you from all sinful activities, sinful reactions. Do not worry. Assurance. You surrender to somebody and they assure you, don't worry. Just like a child is surrendered to parents. When the parents have a day, they give assurance. Morning, evening, don't worry. Assure. So Krishna is assuring, don't worry. I'll relieve you, deliver you from all sinful reactions. In Brahma Sanhita, Krishna says, Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha. As the proportion of Shraddha, faith in Krishna increases, Siddhir Bhavati Tadrishi. Siddhi means perfection. So in proportion to your faith in Krishna, the perfection is achieved. Now this is important, extremely important. Shraddha. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitaji Prabhu knows, Shraddha Shraddhish Vishwas Kahe Sudru Nishya. Krishna Bhakti Kahe Sarva Karma Pratahe. This is definition of Shraddha. Shraddha Shraddhish Vishwas Kahe Sudru Nishya. Shraddha Shraddhish Vishwas, faith. Confidence, full conviction, and Sudhra Nishya, firm determination. In what? That Krishna Bhakti Kaila is Sarva Karma Krutha. Just by performing devotional service to Krishna, all other activities will become perfect, all perfections will be achieved. Just by doing this one thing, Krishna Bhakti. This is faith. So in proportion to our faith in Krishna, Krishna means the literature, Shadi Guru Sastra, the spiritual master, devotional literature, and Krishna himself. Shadi Guru Sastra, Chittiti Koryak. So in proportion to your faith, then perfection is achieved. If faith is lacking, the perfection won't be achieved unless we come to the complete faith. In Nectar Devotion you study these 9 different steps. Shraddha to Prem. Yeah? Adu Shraddha, Tatu Sadhasam, Adu Bhajana Kriya, Syat Tatu Nishtha, Ruchistata, Tatha Shaktis, Tatu Bhava, Prima Vidanchati, Sadhika Namayam, Pradurbhavit, Premna Pradurbhavit Krama. So, in steps by steps. Shraddha is the first step, Adu Shraddha. In the beginning, there must be some faith. Why would anybody come, get up at 3 o'clock or 3:30 and come to Mangalarti? Some faith. Why would go in the Sunday afternoon or in the evening to attend? Some faith. Why would somebody give some donation, some hard-earned money? Some faith. Why would go and study or hear this devotional meditation? Faith. Why would somebody associate with the saintly people? Faith. Faith. Prabhupada gives various examples later on how faith is important. We put faith. We can't survive without faith. So either you put faith in pure devotees of Krishna, in Krishna himself, or you put faith in Maya. So faith is important. And the example Prabhupada gives is so nice. He said you go and buy a plane ticket, a train ticket. And you pay the money right on the spot. It's not like that, you know, buy now, pay later. Pay later. It doesn't happen like that, unless you know the travel agent. You know. You still have to pay. The thing is that you pay. You pay your travel money, ticket money, right there and there. You have not seen the plane. You haven't checked the flight. The flight may be 2 months later. You don't know what the fog condition, where the condition is going to be. You put your faith in the travel agent, in his computer, and whatever he prints out. That's all. Piece of paper. Nothing else. You put faith, oh yes. This is my plane ticket. I booked my ticket. Netaji Anpur books his ticket twice in a year, few times in a year. Faith. You know, this man does the job, you know. He's good. Travel agent, whoever he uses. And he knows the flight never cancelled. He can get me good flight. Good deal.
I travel in August. I bought the ticket now.
Faith. You put faith. You can't survive without faith. You put faith in your doctor. It's amazing, you put probably this example, you put faith, even in the barber. The barber has got...
You put faith in the alarm clock.
I know. The barber has got a big razor. Can cut your throat. In an effective way, you can cut your throat. Now, what if the barber just goes shaving? Instead of shaving, he cuts your throat. How many people you put out faith? Barber, travel agent, doctor,
restaurant.
So you can't survive without faith.
Doctor is very important.
Doctor, yeah. He can kill you.
He can poison you, don't know.
There is a story of Dr. Shipman, you know, in the UK. He killed more than 200 people. Because he just loved killing. He was from Manchester. This was some 8 or 9 years ago. Dr. Shipman in Manchester. 200 people he killed.
Old old ladies.
Yeah. He thought he was helping them, you know.
Helping them. Faith. That God, the doctor prescribes you the medicine. This is good for you. Okay, thank you. And you put your faith, you take the medicine, thinking that this is going to cure me. So faith is important. Now, if you put your faith in the Supreme Person, if you put our faith in the pure devotee, if we put our faith in the words of Krishna, in the words of his pure devotees, then all perfections can be achieved. Because we already have our experience of putting our faith in people who are important. Parents, teachers, doctors, etc. So faith is important. Now, coming back to the question I asked you, that who is a qualified candidate to study Srimad Bhagavatam? Somebody who has progressed further. He has surrendered to Krishna, and he accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to study Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically accept. To study Srimad Bhagavatam, you have surrendered and accepted, then you are a fit candidate. Otherwise not. So that's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's all finished. No? You have done it. You accepted. Now I offer my obeisance to Lord Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. So this is further advancement. Now Chaitanya Charitamrita is step further. That's why this is known as postgraduate study of our philosophy. And why is that? Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is the narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, but not as God Himself. So this is difficult to understand. Very, very difficult. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is one of the most difficult incarnations to understand. And that's why in India, around the world, especially in India, people have difficulty accepting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. They accept Him as a devotee of Krishna, but they will not accept Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now for such people, the study of Chaitanya Charitamrita will be fruitless. So this is the qualification to begin Chaitanya Charitamrita. You accept the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who incarnated in the form, in the guise of His own devotee. A couple of notes I want to read here. Srila Prabhupada, in the preface, says, if a person is fortunate enough to be attracted by Lord Chaitanya, he is sure to be successful in his life's mission.
God is
So first of all, you need to have some good fortune, and that good fortune is to be attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of His own devotee, He teaches this process of Shanagati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Karamore. And there are various songs. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jiva Daya Kari, Swaparshada, Sri Adham, Savo Avatari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of His compassion to the fallen conditioned souls, along with His abode, His associates, His weapons, He incarnated. So you see, He punched the book. So the attraction has to be there, Mahaprabhu. Now, in preface, Prabhupada also explains how the philosophy of Chaitanya Charitamrita is identical with the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. There is no difference. Why? Because Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauri Tashyamaha. This is spoken by Sri Rupa Goswami. That our former question says, to the most munificent incarnation of Krishna, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And He has come here to inundate the world with Krishna Prema, His own love of Godhead, His own love. He is Krishna, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namane, but He has taken the name of Krishna Chaitanya. Gaurutyashinama, and I offer my obeisances to Lord Gauranga. In Srimad Bhagavatam, now again as I said earlier, this is introduction and this is important that we study Chaitanya Charitamrita with the right understanding, right attitude, with appropriate faith, with the required faith, in order for this study to be fruitful. In Srimad Bhagavatam, incarnation of Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explained with famous words, the popular, most famous, one of the most famous verses in Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned, Krishna Varnam, Tusa Krishna, Sangha Pangasya Parshadam, Yajna Sankirtan Praya Yajanti Sumedasa, Krishna Varnam. So Krishna Varnam have two meanings, this word has two meanings. Krishna Varnam, Krishna has his complexion as black. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't have black complexion. It's Krishna Varnam. What he is doing, he is reciting, he is vibrating Krishna, 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 Krishna Varnam. This syllable Krishna. One also has two meanings. One means the complexion, the color. One also means the syllables. In Sriharinamad Vyakaran, the grammar, Sanskrit grammar, it says Varna Swarupe Rama. So Varna means syllables. So Krishna, at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is vibrating these syllables Krishna, Krishna. So he is Krishna Varnam. Tusa Akrishnam. He is Krishna, but he is Akrishna. He is Krishna himself, but his complexion is Akrishna. Means not black, but golden, white, golden. So Krishna has got Akrishna complex. Krishna Varnam Tusa Akrishna. He incarnated with some Sanga Pangastra Parshadam. Sa Anga Upanga Astra Parshadam. So Angas, Krishna has brought his Angas, his associates. So you see, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakti Rup Sarupakam Bhaktavatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advait, Gadadha, Srivas, Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. So Angas, his associates. Then Upangas, the associates of the associates. So in Chaitanya tree, in Chaitanya tree, there are so many branches. Advaita Acharya, he has his Guru Parampara. Nityananda Prabhu, he has his Guru Parampara. Like that. Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu, he has his Guru Parampara. So many branches. This is a tree, Chaitanya tree. So many branches are there. So Sa Anga Upanga and then Astra Parshadam. He has got his Astra as well. Astra is a weapon. So somebody says, I don't see any weapon. Mahaprabhu's hands. But he has got a weapon. And that weapon is the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. This is his weapon. This is how he cures. This is how he kills the influence of Kali Yuga. And the evidence, the proof, are Jagayan Madhai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill Jagayan Madhai, but Nityananda Prabhu said, please stop. In Kali Yuga you don't kill anybody, so don't kill. Mahaprabhu, he still kills, but how? Through the chanting of the holy name. He kills all the bad influences. Other examples, the hippies of 1960. These hippies are no better than Jagayan Madhais in terms of their fallen condition. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Sri Srila Prabhupada, these hippies became happies. They turned into pure devotees. Exalted devotees, so many of them, entire generation of hippies, almost. So they turned as exalted devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ang Astra Parshadam, then his Parshads, associates are there, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Srivas, Pandit, they are Parshadas. Now, his activities. Yajna Sankirtan Praya. He is performing sacrifice. So in every year there is a certain activity, performance, which is called that activity for the age. Krituya Dhyayate Vishnu, Kretayam Yajitamakai, Dvapari Paricharyayam, Kalau Tadhi Kirtanat. The four ages, yugas. So all these yugas, they have different activities. In Satyuga, Dhyayate Vishnu, Dhyana, meditation. All Lord Vishnu. Yagova Vishnu. And then Tretayam Jajitu Makhai. In Treta Yuga. Big, big sacrifices. In Ramayana, this description of Lord Ramchandra himself performing Ashwamedh Yajna. Big, big sacrifices. Ashwamedh Yajna, they are very, very large sacrifices. The descriptions, the 40 yajnas, they have to have pounds of milk, pounds of ghee. Large sacrifices, pounds. Literally, there are pounds where the ghee was coming, milk was coming, and other oblations were coming, other ingredients were coming. So, yajitu makhai. Then, dvapare parcharyayam. In Dwapar Yuga, the Supreme Personality is attained through Parcharya, deity worship. So the grandson of Krishna himself, Bhajana Prabhu, he installed big, big, large temples of Krishna. Netaji Champu has been to Vrindavan many times. There are temples, many temples in Vrindavan, which were installed, some deities which were installed by Vajna, Krishna's grandson. So big, big temple where deity worship is very prominent. Now in Kali Yuga, Tad Hari Kirtana, the same perfection is achieved through Hari Kirtana, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yajna Sankirtan Praya Yajanti. He is Yajanti, he is performing sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy name. So you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started his Sankirtan Yajna when he was in Nadia, in Navadvipa. Very young age, he started his Sankirtan Yajna. And that continued until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared. He went back to Goloka. So this is Sankirtan Yajna. He came to inaugurate Sankirtan Yajna. And therefore, those who are endowed with good intelligence, they worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, going back to faith. Because this study has to be fruitful, and for that, we have to have required faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Attraction also comes. Some people are naturally attracted to Mahaprabhu. As soon as they see Mahaprabhu, his unique beauty, his complexion, they're naturally attracted. But some people find it difficult. And Vrindavan people used to come, I remember, and they would go to Golnathai, Krishna, Lam, Radha, Shamsundar. And then they would come and ask, Radha Shamsa, that's Radha Krishna. This is Krishna and Balram. This is Krishna and Balram. How are they? Who are they? You can't understand. Who are they? Then explain it. It's Gaur Nithai. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Nithyananda is Balram. The same Krishna and Balram are also here. The India people do not understand. So these are normal, no? People, innocent people who come and say, who are they? They are the lords. How come they are the lords and I don't know? It's very difficult for people to understand Mahaprabhu as Krishna, Nityananda Prabhu as Balram. So required faith. We'll study later on. Now, I was commenting on Prabhupada's preface. I was summarizing Prabhupada's preface. Prabhupada says the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is identical. Okay? So once we accept Mahaprabhu as Krishna, then the teachings of Mahaprabhu are also teachings of Krishna. In the morning we heard Nitajanpur reciting Sukshastakam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only gave 8 verses. And his followers, Shat Goswamis, have written so much Vedic literature based on those 8 verses that some of the literature had to be buried samadhi, in Granth Samadhi. Because people can't understand that exalted topics. Some of the books by the Goswamis were buried because people are unable to understand. And they have written so much. If you take this Jiva Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, he has written so much, abundance of literature in quantity and quality. And quality, there's no scholar who can dare to refute the principles of Mahaprabhu's teaching as they are contained in the literature written by Sri Jiva Goswami. Many people do PhDs and research in Oxford Center of Hindu Studies. There are devotees who have done graduate study and also research on Mahaprabhu's teachings, especially Jiva Goswami, Sat Sundarva. Jiva Goswami has written Sat Sundarva, 6 Sundarvas, in which he has explained the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 8 verses and so much literature written. So philosophy of Mahaprabhu is identical to philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Then Prabhupada also talks about how Mahaprabhu's practical demonstration of yoga is identical to Ashtanga Yoga. Interesting. In Ashtanga Yoga, you have Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dhyan, Dharana, Samadhi. Nowadays it's very popular, Ashtanga Yoga. But what they do, they only take one or two limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, especially asanas or pranayam. That's it. So that's not really Ashtanga Yoga, 8 limbs.
Not 8.
They only take 2 limbs of yoga, asana and pranayam. Asana, mostly asanas. And then little bit of pranayam. Breathing. So Mahaprabhu's demonstration. So Mahaprabhu has demonstrated how Bhakti Yoga is identical to this Ashtanga Yoga. Because the goal is same. In Ashtanga Yoga, you start with Yam and Niyam. Yam and Niyam. Yam and Niyam. Niyam are, Yam and Niyam are the rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. So Yam, you give up something. Niyam, you do something. Yeah, just like in ISKCON, we have 4 regulative principles. These are yamas, don'ts. And then niyamas, you chant 16 rounds, follow Ekadasi, fast on Ekadasi, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees. So these are niyamas. Worship the deities, eat prasadam, niyamas. So yam, niyam, then asana. In Mahaprabhu's demonstration of Bhakti Yoga, there's hardly any place for asana. There's no strict rule. You can walk and chant around, circumambulate the tulsi and chant around, go on the street and chant around, and you can even chant around, or you can chant the Krishna's holy name even if you are in the toilet. Don't try to chant your 16 rounds.
That nothing means glorifying or not counting.
No, you don't chant 16 rounds. So let me know. 1 round here, 1 round in the bar, 2 already gone. Left 2. 4 rounds on the bus. 2 rounds in the supermarket. 8 rounds. Wow. So not like that. although there are some exalted acharyas like Sri Gaurakulas Babaji Maharaj, but his position is very exalted. One time, a devotee came to Gaurakulas Babaji Maharaj. He said, "Babaji Maharaj, please don't refuse. I want to take you home. Please come to my house so I can serve you." Sri Babaji Maharaj was very, very famous as an exalted soul. He spent 30 years doing bhajan in Vrindavan, then he was in Navadvip. So he was very famous and people would come. So Babaji Maharaj refused initially. And he said, "No, please, please come. Myself and my wife, we want to serve you." So Babaji Maharaj said, "I would come with one condition, that I'll live in the toilet. If you allow me to live in the toilet, then I'll come." So he said, "Oh, now what do I do?" Such an exalted soul, coming to your house, and yet he refused to live in any room apart from the toilet. So he said, "Okay, please come. If you want to live in the toilet, yeah, okay." So then they cleaned the toilet thoroughly, and Babaji Maharaj did his bhajan for 6 months in the toilet. But he's an exalted soul. For him, there's no difference between the toilet or a palace. He's an exalted soul. So we're talking about the practical demonstration of devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that. So yam niyam asim pranayam. Again, we don't do exact breathing exercises. But when you chant Krishna's name and sing loud kirtan, and that breathing is already done. Loud breathing. You jump up and down and chant. So when you're chanting with full heart, on the top of your lungs, and the breathing is done. So pranayam pratyahara. Pratyahara is withdrawing your senses from the sense objects. Now how this is done in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan? When you are chanting, the chanting is so powerful, it withdraws all your senses and focuses on the holy name. If you remember, in 24 hours kirtan, when Sachinanda Maharaj, Mahaprabhu, and so many other Vaishnavas, the same kirtan, people are normally absorbed. And all the sense objects, all the senses, they are withdrawn. Isn't it? You have experience? And similarly, when we chant in the temple, in the aarti, all the senses are withdrawn. Just focus on the beautiful form of Jagannath, beautiful form of Mahaprabhu, Gonitai, and absorb. So this is pratyahara. Then dhyana dhyana samadhi. Dharana. After withdrawing the senses, then the devotee becomes fixed. So what we are doing here, I'm trying to compare. We are comparing this Ashtanga Yoga with practical demonstration of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. And how this Ashtanga Yoga identical to Mahaprabhu's Bhakti Yoga. Okay, so then dharana, the devotee becomes fixed. And sometimes the devotee, the chanting is this totally fixed mind. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, or the reading Srimad Bhagavatam, totally fixed, lost. Or hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, or reading Bhagavad Gita, completely fixed, attention. Dharma, Dhyana, meditation. The meditation in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is instantaneous, immediate. We don't have to meditate for hours and hours, immediate. As soon as Sankirtan begins, the meditation begins. Immediately. So you're chanting, you're meditating on Mahaprabhu's beautiful form, Krishna's beautiful form, Jagannath's beautiful form. So this meditation, dhana, dhyana, and then samadhi. So the perfection of yoga, or the aim of yoga, is samadhi, complete absorption, total absorption. So you may have seen Prabhupada's picture, where Prabhupada is totally absorbed, his eyes closed, completely absorbed. This is samadhi. And sometimes you may see, you may experience yourself where you feel completely in absorption. Whether you are fasting on Ekadasi or on Janmashtami, despite the whole day fast, your mind is totally absorbed. And then you feel this unlimited bliss. So that is samadhi. So this is how this identity goes. Prabhupada talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, identical with Bhagavad Gita and identical with Sankhya Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. Now, in the introduction, Prabhupada explains the word Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Prabhupada had given 5 lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita between April 10 to 14, 1967, before I was born. And these lectures are the thesis and very important to study the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, as I said to you, this is not just going to be a lecture and reading. I'll try to make it a discourse, which means you take part, you absorb, you discuss. You read and then again absorb. Okay? So, if you can read the introduction, preface and introduction, and you come next week, that will make it more fruitful to study this great literature. So, today I have just covered preface today, some points from preface. I'm just going to just explain Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the meaning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, as explained in the introduction, and then we'll take some questions. Chaitanya, this word comes from Chaitana. Chaitana, Chaitana, Sanskrit word, which means consciousness. So Chaitanya means consciousness. Living force, Prabhupada translate. So Chaitanya is living force. And Prabhupada gives a beautiful explanation that how this living force is the essence of our existence. Isn't it? If the living force goes from this body, then the body will be cremated. Your very own family members will take the body which they have loved so much and commit. Happens. Your parents die, or your grandparents may have died, you have the experience. The living force is gone. You take the body to a doctor, doctor says he is gone. But who is gone? Who is gone? Living force is gone. Therefore, the body is useless. Nothing can be done. Unless there are some people, some religions who believe that this body will come back to life. And therefore, you can't cremate. You have to bury it. And they think the Hindus are crazy. They're mad. They couldn't burn the body. How mad. Somebody in Vinod Mandiri, my wife in her school, somebody said to her, a Muslim woman, "You're mad." She said, "Hindus are mad." She didn't say that crudely, but this is what she meant. How can you take the same body you love so much and cremate and burn it? How? Don't you feel? Don't you have any feelings? That body may have been your father, your grandfather, whoever. How can you do that? probably it's meant to say, it's implied to say that Hindus don't have feelings. How can you burn? You must go and bury, because the body will come back to life. They say in Kayamat, Kayamat means, after Kayamat, after dissolution, when the world again begins, all the bodies which are cremated and buried, they will come back to life. And because of this belief, there's so much land is being occupied. You know? You can't have any agricultural land, you can't have no land. If you want to build a temple, the government gives you help, in Watford, because it's greenbelt area. You can't build any structure. The government gives you help, architectural structure. But so much land is occupied by dead bodies. And nobody can do anything. It's just the belief that they will come back to life. So much land. Now the government has realized that this is not working. Yeah. So now they go and they cremate themselves. Because nobody can afford.
But Muslims, they don't.
They don't. They don't believe. They still go and bury it. Yeah. Because they believe. So the point I was making is the living force, Chaitanya. And this living force comes from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the Supreme Lord himself. So as jivas, living entities, we are part and parcel of that living force, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. Charit means the character. Amrit means immortal. So the character of the living force in immortality. This is the meaning, literally the meaning, of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Mahaprabhu, he is the living force. Jivare Swarupa hai Krishna Nityadas. He is Krishna. Mama Vivansa Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this living force, living entity, they are my part and parcel. So we are part and parcel of this living force known as Krishna Chaitanya, Siman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the narration, is the charit, the character. And this narration is immortal. So anyone who hears this, studies it, discusses it, he goes, he progresses on the path of immortality. And that is to go back to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So I think this, I hope this introduction has been fruitful to you, useful, you find it useful. Okay, we'll leave a couple of minutes. If you have any questions or comments. Any questions? I'd like to thank Nitajan Prabhu again to organize this, these sessions. I was just saying to him that he is an expert in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Bengal, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are basically heard, read everywhere.
So, Buzi,
they
start with Chaitanya Charitamrita. On that level. Because of Mahaprabhu, they like Mahaprabhu, so they like to it. Yeah. The nature of Mahaprabhu, this is why they like it too.
See, see. So I think it is hard to, because I remember Dr. Harsaprabhu, he was saying, he started reading it, then he said he couldn't read it because he found, for a doctor, it was, he said, I couldn't understand it. And then his Guruji told him to try again. He was very hard to read.
No, after that, he was like, he is so impressed. He said, I like. Every day he's doing
it. He's inspired by his guru to read it, and then when he read it again, he was
inspired. And then he's to love it.
Okay. Any questions?
It's very nice. It's nicely explained.
The last temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the inner Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes,
the first one. So these two books, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, are prominent. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes Mahaprabhu's Navadvipa Leela in great detail. Chaitanya Charitamrita covers Mahaprabhu's Navadvipa Leela, but the focus is on Mahaprabhu's Neelachal Leela and philosophy. So that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is the supreme literature in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There's no book like this, because the philosophy given here is the culmination of Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Mahaprabhu's philosophy has been explained so nicely in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there are quotations here you will find, although this is written in Bengali, but trying to translate as Kailas brings in quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, all literatures, or some literatures. So this is very authentic literature. I hope you find it useful. As I said, this is not the first book you study. But since we started, you can pray to Mahaprabhu to help us absorb his philosophy, his pastimes, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna. So next week, you do some reading, preface and introduction, and then we'll carry on. Now I can either just give a lecture, I can do a